And most people that I know, all of them want to have a long life with good health. If they say, I have no good health, then I don't want to live long. That's what they say. I feel the same way. I'm sure you do too. Did you know that God also wants us to enjoy good life with good health? Of course He does. Why? Because He's our loving Heavenly Father. In fact, God wants you and me to prosper in all areas of our life, in all the things that we do, and be in good health as our soul is right with Him. Let me read one more time today's scripture. He says, Beloved, this is John the Apostle's prayer for the people of God. I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. I hope all of us get the proper order. It's not like everything goes well and we are strong and healthy and our soul prospers. No, it doesn't go that way. It goes the other way around. When our soul prospers, right relationship with God, and everything will go well and in good health. You know, when it comes down to our physical health, God is interested in how we maintain good health and how we use our body. And I'm going to introduce to you a few scripture verses taken from the Bible. Did you know that God wants us to honor Him with our body? Did you know that God wants us to learn how to control our own body? God's intention and will for us is never to use our body for sexual immorality. And God says, do not hate your own body. How many of us do though? Oh, I don't like this look. You know, I'm too overweight. You know, that I know, almost all of us have some kind of dissatisfaction with our body. And God says, no, don't do that. Do not put your body through harsh treatments. It's Colossians 2:23. Stop presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Rather, present them as instruments of righteousness to God. I was thinking of some individuals who use their hands and food, whatever, to hurt others. Physical abuse. And God says, no. Don't do that. What about this one? If any man, meaning person, destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Imagine this. Someone comes into our sanctuary and trashes everything we have here. And God says, I'll hold you accountable because this temple is holy. But you don't stop there. God is not just talking about physical temple of God, but He says, that temple of God is what you are. Your body is temple of God. So based upon these verses, I will safely say to you that maintaining a good, healthy body and using it for God's glory and honor is God's will for you and me. So speaking of good health and how to maintain it, You don't need my personal advice. In fact, there are plenty of good tips out there, such as proper diet, right exercise, good night's rest, and so forth. And it's a good thing that we have plenty of, you know, tips out there. However, this is what happens. God's people often are ignorant of what the Bible says about good health, ended up neglecting God's wisdom thereon. We are smart in worldly wisdom, however, we are very poor in God's wisdom when it comes down to our own health. Let me tell you the difference between God's wisdom on our health and that of the world out there. The fundamental difference is this. The one in the world may sound good, however, it lacks one thing. It has no control over our fleshly indulgence. Think of someone. oh, you know, I'm overweight and, you know, I just joined this program and for the next 2 months I worked very hard with diet and exercise in one night and I lost 20 pounds. Praise God. How many of them later on went back to where they were? Why? Is it because the program is defective? No, the program works just fine. It's just that human nature, the Bible calls fleshly indulgence, eventually wins. You see, you know, the programs and diet and all these things, you think it's a 21st century phenomenon? No. Even back then, 2,000 years ago, in the world of Rome and Roman Empire, people went through the same thing. They did all kinds of things, physical exercise and proper diet and whatnot. And Paul, the apostle, was writing this letter to Colossians regarding those matters, you know, worldly principles. He says, these are the matters which have the appearance of wisdom, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. He pointed out the fundamental difference between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom is that God's wisdom brings the value against fleshly indulgence. Anyway, this morning you're about to hear me presenting to you 4 keys to good health. All of them are found in God's Word. Of course, there are more than 4, but for the sake of time, I had to limit to 4 keys. I believe these 4 will top any secular health tips when we follow faithfully and we will enjoy good health. So what are the 4 keys? I'm going to give you the acronym for you to easy to remember. First, it's a top C. T stands for trust, O stands for obey, and P is for pray, and C for clean thinking. Top C. Okay? The Bible declares that trust in the Lord surely brings good health to our body. Listen, Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You never realize that, right? Trust in the Lord. So how does this thing work? This is how it works. When you and I trust in the Lord, we believe in His good will. Meaning God always means nothing but the best for us, right? So when we trust in His good will, God also protects us from the evil one, meaning the devil, and He will bless us with every spiritual blessing. You're hearing all the words taken from God's word, folks. It's not Gyeon Choi's own words there. So when we trust in the Lord, we do not have to trust in ourselves or on our own ability. In turn, God fills us with a true security that we are His own and we belong to Him. He also fills our hearts with an assurance that He loves us and provides whatever we need, food, shelter, and clothing. And it sure keeps us going strong every day without worries. I came to America 30 years ago, and I still remember, you know, we were on the plane, me and my wife, to America, and at the time we had just $5,000 in cash, traveler's checks in those days, and that's all we had. And in our journal, we both signed, and we just wrote down in our journal in the plane, saying that we declare that our trust is in the Lord, not in money. God has proven His faithfulness to us ever since. We never lacked anything, folks, in material possessions. Not that I have $1 million in the bank, no. God always fulfilled His promise, providing what we need. In fact, this option of trusting in the Lord is far better than, or far superior to, having $1 billion in my bank accounts and constantly worrying about tomorrow. You think $1 billion... If I have $1 billion, I would not worry about tomorrow. No. Actually, the opposite. The richer you are, the more you just worry about your money. So folks, I recommend you to do the same. Declare every morning that you trust in the Lord in all matters, especially in your own health, and begin to enjoy good health. Trusting in the Lord brings health to your body. The second, remember TOPSI, T stands for trust, and O stands for obey. Obey God's commands. It is God's word that promises that when we obey and His commands, we will be blessed in all areas of life. You know, I thought about, when I make the sermon, you know, I tend to start with a big one. And I thought, just I need 2 hours to, you know, go through every single point that I have. So you're about to have, you know, it's condensed version. Now, so when you go home, I want you to go to the Bible and read Deuteronomy chapter 28. You'll see there are 68 verses, 14 verses about God's blessings, and 54 verses on curses. Now, this is what God says in verse 2 on the same chapter. All these blessings will come upon you before He pronounced all the blessings that they will have. All these verses will come, blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. That's conditional, isn't it? God also warns us that if we choose to disobey Him, the opposite of blessings, that is curses, will come upon us like this. So all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping His commandments and His statutes, which He commanded you. What happens when we obey God in His commands? God says, He declares that we are His own. Our relationship with God comes with lots of benefits, both spiritual and physical, that includes good health. Listen to Exodus 19:5. God is speaking to His people, Israel. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Isn't it cool when God says, you are my own possession when you obey me? Here's another promise. God says He will not withhold any blessings from those who obey Him. If you listen to Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, it says, God says to His people, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. And it's interesting, isn't it? Most of us think that whenever we don't like the word to obey, right? Obey God, no, I don't like those words. But listen, God never appreciates someone, you know, forced to obey God. No, He never forces us. That's why He says, if you consent and obey, then you will eat the best of the land. And God also promises that He will be our protection. Listen to Exodus chapter 23, verse 22. God, once again, God is speaking to His people. If you truly do all that I say, and then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and adversary to your adversaries. Isn't it cool? God says, I'm going to just protect you all the way if you truly do all that I say. You know, there are plenty of commands in the Bible that we ought to pay attention to. But once again, I picked only three for the sake of time. First one is rejoice. Did you know that it is God's will for you and me to rejoice always in the Lord without ceasing? How many of us do that? When we rejoice in the Lord and make it part of our character, and then we will enjoy good health. That's God's promise. How does it work? Here's how it works. A rejoicing spirit brings forth a cheerful heart, and the cheerful heart serves as good medicine. Listen to Proverbs 17. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. True story. There was a man diagnosed with cancer. He was told by the doctor, you're going to live about 6 months. So he was in great pain, and he was on, you know, painkiller all the time. And one day out of boredom, he said, I'm going to watch some comedy shows, clean, you know, black and white, you know, comedies in the 1940s and 50s. And he watched that one episode, about 30 minutes. He liked it so much, and he realized that he was laughing with this, you know, comedies for about 10 minutes. And during that 10-minute time, he realized that, oh, I didn't have any pain. So he thought, maybe if I watch the second episode, you know, it'll happen again. And sure, it happened again. And this man kept watching all the comedies, clean ones. And would you believe, he was cured. Cheerful heart is a good medicine. Second thing is, be thankful. And this particular one has proved to be an excellent benefit to my own health. I already shared with you, there was a time that my triglycerides was over 200. So at the same time, without, you know, any just connection, I just was thankful for all good things as well as bad things as God commands. So within, you know, 3 months later, I checked and my triglycerides number went down to 150. With no change in my diet, nothing changed in my personal lifestyle. Just that the benefit of being thankful. So this is what I do, folks. I begin my day every day, not with coffee, but with doing of thanking, I would call, D-O-T, for 20 things. I want to make sure that 10 bad things and 10 good things, just no matter what, I just give thanks to God, and I start the day. Now, if you want to know, Pastor Choi, I mean, how good it is, so try this one, folks. If you want to know how important it is to be thankful in all good circumstances, good and bad, try this one. The opposite, be grumpy all the time. We could do that, right? We're very good at grumpy. Just to be grumpy every moment for a week and see how it affects your health. Seriously. Third thing, I talked about rejoice in the Lord and be thankful. And third thing is, forgive. We say the Lord's Prayer every morning, every Sunday morning, don't we? You don't need any further explanation from me. An unforgiving spirit can cause cancer. Forgiveness and repentance restore health to our body. Now, I'm moving on. Remember, top C, trust in the Lord and obey God's commandments. Third one is pray. It is a no-brainer that our mental health is directly related to and affects our body health. And in fact, the scripture has been telling us about this downward connection, okay, for thousands of years. In other words, our mental state affects our physical body. There's a word, English word for it, psychosomatic. Psycho means your soul. Somatic means soma is body. Psycho affects your body. Doctors today that say that stress and anxiety frequently cause health problems, such as high blood pressure, depression, and even back pain. You see, my wife had two back surgeries in 20-year period. So I accompanied her plenty of times to doctor's office, okay, neurosurgeon, orthopedist, you name it. And his name was Dr. Pizzi. I think he's still alive. He's retired now, neurosurgeon. I remember listening to him, how he explained, you know, how it is connected. This is what he said. You know, you have limited blood supply in your body. Everyone understands that. And he says, wherever the needs the blood most, the heart sends the blood first. And guess what? When you are under stress and pressure, what happens? Your brain needs to process a lot of things, how to do it, how to sort things out. So, the blood goes to your brain. And this is Dr. Pizzi said, the spine is the last place you get, that gets the blood supply. No wonder. So when the spine gets no blood supply, then it gets strained, then gets vulnerable, and then all kinds of problems happens to your back. Unresolved prolonged stress, he says, can cause back pain. I understood. Now, there are more than, you know, just the anxiety and stress that causes all the problems. There are other things, the Bible says, such as envy, despair, shame, guilt, and rejection. I don't have enough time to go over all every single thing, but listen to a few examples from the Bible. Envy rots the bones. Did you know that? Boy, if you're concerned about bones, make sure that you don't envy. What about this one? A crushed spirit dries up the bones. Here we go again. I'm speaking to the wives this time. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. So do some good, just help to your husband. Don't shame them. I didn't know wife's related to husband's bone health. What about heart broken. Jeremiah says, heart is broken within me and all my bones tremble. Ezekiel, another prophet, he says, our hope is gone, our bones are dried up. When you are in despair, you lose the bone health. Well, on the other hand, what's the opposite of, you know, anxiety and stress? It's peace, isn't it? There was a man whose name was Ralph, and I asked him once, Ralph, what do you want? He was in his 70s, retired, you know, farmer. And he says, peace and tranquility. Isn't that what we want? Peace and tranquility. Peace in the mind is essential to good health. This is what Proverbs 14:30 says. A heart at peace gives life to the body. Peace with God and with family and with neighbors bring forth good health. Here's the reality though. Our lives are full of anxieties and stresses and we cannot entirely get rid of them. However, we can manage them in God's way. And that way is prayer, folks. When we pray, we'll be able to ward off such negative impacts on our health. To me, prayer is an antidote to anxiety. Listen to Paul, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the result is the peace of God, not just your peace or mine, the peace that comes from God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What else can you ask for more? Be anxious about anything? Not anything, but, you know, pray, and then you will enjoy the peace of God. Remember Topsy, trust, obey, and pray. And the last one is clean thinking. I was in the seminary in the 1980s, and there was one of the professors whose name was Dr. Samuel Moffat. He's going to be with the Lord now. But he was very active, both physically and mentally. And he would jog 2 or 3 miles daily on treadmill. And he was writing volumes of books, all in his 80s, folks. Most of us retire at the age of 65 and enjoy our life, and this man was so active in his late 80s. So one day I had a privilege to sit down with him, have lunch. So I asked him, Professor Moffat, please share with me, what is the key to your longevity? You know what he says? It wasn't jogging on the treadmill. He says, clean life. He went on, he said that no smoking and drinking, and more than anything else, he says, clean thinking, clean heart and clean mind. I got it. That means that we need to cast out all the bad and negative thoughts from our heart and mind. Remember, envy rots the bones, crushed spirit dries up the bones. Stop storing up anything negative or dark, such as images of horror and lust. I still struggle. You know, I didn't intend to watch, but from time to time, you can't help. All these, you know, through your eyes, come through the images. I still remember some bad images that I watched on movies, talking of 30, 40 years ago. They stay there, folks. So what is the alternative we have? We need to fill our heart and mind with good, positive, and honorable things. Proverbs 15:30 says, good news gives health to the bones. So fill up your heart and mind with good and honorable thoughts. Listen to Paul again, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on those things. I'm going to just close my sermon. Good health begins with embracing God's ownership of our bodies. It's not yours, folks. Some people say that, oh, this is my body. I do whatever I want to do. Wrong. God is the owner then who you are? You are the stewards of God's property. And therefore we take better care of our bodies. And that will lead to good health. And I'm going to just invite you to, if you desire, to stand on your feet, to say the prayer of commitment. I'm going to, you know, invite anyone who would like to, you know, just take good care of your body and enjoy the good health. And I'm going to just invite, if you want, stand on your feet and say after me the prayer. And I'll go slow and you say after me. Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord,
starting today,
I will trust in you.
I will put my trust
not in money or anybody else,
but you.
Nothing but you.
No one but you.
I will also obey you with all my heart and mind. When I do, you will bless me, both spiritually and physically. I will rejoice in you all the time. I'll be thankful in all circumstances, both good and bad. I'll forgive anyone who trespasses against me. I'll pray every day with thanksgiving and will not let anxiety take peace away from me. I'll cast out all negative and unclean thoughts. Instead, I'll store up your word in my heart. I'll fill my mind with godly thoughts. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated.